The following is a classic Compassion Radio presentation featuring Dr. Norm and Cher Nelson that originally aired in March of 2010.
On today's Compassion Radio.
Do good to those who hate you.
That's right.
It's not enough to sit at home and say, oh, I love them and I'll pray for them. We have to be demonstrating the love of Christ in our lives by doing good to those who do evil against us.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the ends of the earth to where you live, Compassion Radio brings the stories of God's transforming power. You probably wouldn't be surprised to learn that we think pretty highly of radio broadcasting. It holds an indispensable place in our society and can often be an important link to what's really going on in the world. So, where does Compassion Radio fit in? Well, today you'll hear Norman Cher's answer.
Well, Cher, today the title of our program, the subject matter, is what we call radio for the sake of others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been kind of fun. In recent months, we've adopted that saying to characterize the nature, the distinctive quality of this Compassion Radio ministry. We're not like every other Christian radio ministry out there, and there's so many wonderful ministries. But Compassion Radio is a little different, and a fact that is very encouraging to me, frankly, is that in recent weeks and months, God has enabled us to expand the reach of this radio ministry rather extensively, to the point where we are now broadcasting about 1,000 program releases every day across the United States. And that really is about a 10-time increase from what we were, I'd say 4 years ago.
It's just absolutely amazing.
It really is. And just recently, we've also expanded tremendously. We're grateful for the opportunity, but we feel a kind of obligation, and I think it's very important that we pay attention to this fact. We have a lot of new listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion Radio, I think, is perhaps an acquired taste because we're so different. And I thought today that we'd take a little bit of time to talk about the nature of Compassion Radio and the fact that we are, as we have said, radio for the sake of others.
Oh, so what does that mean, Norm?
So what does that mean? Well, we're going to get into this a little more deeply as we progress into the program, but let me just say this. There are so many outstanding Bible teachers on the radio, men who have profound ministries, pulpit ministries, generally speaking, in local churches, whose churches have grown through the quality of their Bible teaching. And we urge our listeners and encourage them to listen to these outstanding Bible teachers. We must be nourished in the Word of God.
Absolutely. And then there are the counseling programs, too, which not only do they not have on the radio overseas, they simply have no counseling programs.
That's right. And a number of them are even call-in programs. And then, of course, there are other kinds of formats that are available on Christian radio. But one of the things that I think has been missing for a long, long time is a focus on the global mission of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I would put it kind of like this. Programming that has to do with teaching, Bible teaching applied. In other words, we build on the Bible teaching that is out there. We do some teaching ourselves, but that isn't the emphasis. What we're concerned about is the application of the truth that we hear as we listen to these outstanding teachers. And the difference that that makes in our reach, our outreach, and I should say this with a very strong emphasis, our global outreach around the world, because the Lord has instructed us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that is what Compassion Radio is all about.
It's the doing of the word after we've heard the word.
That's right.
It's not enough to just hear.
That's right. We're going to get to this in just a few minutes. The fact that if we are focused only on ourselves in the acquisition of biblical knowledge with no real encouragement or even a mechanism for giving expression to the compassion of Jesus Christ, then we're not going to grow in our faith. And our belief, frankly, is not going to make any difference in the world. Oh, it may help us to explain the world around us and to deal with our own personal problems. Mm-hmm. But our salvation is not for us only. So let's get into this and talk just a little bit about some of the principles that guide this radio ministry. Radio for the sake of others, what does that mean? Well, first of all, as I see it, it's very important what we believe. We evangelicals, our history really is grounded in a controversy between those who were modernists who had a very critical view of Scripture and even demeaned the absolute authority of Scripture because they maintained that it really wasn't relevant to the contemporary world. And the fundamentalists and the evangelicals stood up and said, no way. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we must never compromise on our belief with regard to the authority of Scripture and those other cardinal doctrines of the faith. And so belief is absolutely at the heart of everything. Mm-hmm. But honey, what we believe here at Compassion Radio is that our belief is confirmed not so much in what we say, as important as that is. It is confirmed in our behavior and, let me just add this, in our behavior toward others. That is, in behavior that gives a practical expression to that which we say we believe. Now, let me just provide a couple of examples of this. For instance, since we are saved by grace, and we make that affirmation, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So since we are saved by grace, what difference does that make? How do we know if we really believe that? We know that we believe it when we live graciously with others and toward others. We really have a reason, I think, to question whether we believe in grace if we are not ourselves gracious to others. In other words, we have been treated with the graciousness of God when we didn't deserve it. He reached out to us when we were in rebellion against Him. And because He loved us, He extended grace to us. And we have given the opportunity to respond, not because we're so wonderful and terrific, or because we were deserving of His gift of salvation. No, but because He simply extended it to us, no strings attached. So if we say we believe in grace, that really ought to affect how we behave.
That's true. And not only did He just give it to us, but He rather commanded us to show it to others. He says even the devils believe in Him.
That's right.
But they're not His sons and daughters. We have a responsibility because of the grace that He has shown us to show that to others.
That's right. Let me give another example. We believe in the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. That's the great event that we celebrate at Christmas time. God came to earth in the flesh of that little baby, Jesus of Nazareth. And we celebrate that with great festivity and gratefulness to God for His gift to us. But how do we know that we really believe it, or how will others know that we in fact believe in the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ? Well, they will believe it when we live incarnationally. That is to say, when the message of the gospel is incarnate in our actions, in our behavior. In other words, when the coming of God to earth in Jesus Christ is shown to others with a kind of enfleshment in the way we live, in the way we behave toward others. Do we live incarnationally? Do we incarnate the message of the gospel in our actions toward others? That really is the test as to whether or not we believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
It really is, because we hear all the time, everyone hears all the time, of people who have been turned off to Jesus Christ, not by the things that we've said, but the way we live our lives. We say the right things, but then they don't see that coming out of our inner being. It's something that comes out of our head, out of our mouth, but it doesn't come out of our lives.
You know, the fact of the incarnation of Christ is such an incredible declaration that in one sense, it's almost unbelievable. Does it make rational sense that God would come to earth, that He would take on human flesh and subject Himself to all of the eccentricities and all of the pains and struggles of living a human life on this very imperfect planet? It doesn't make sense at all. When it becomes believable is when others, and that's the, again, the operative word here, when others see the truth of that incredible statement, that incredible affirmation expressed in the way we live our lives before them. Let me give one other example here. Since Christ died for us, and we certainly affirm that fact, while we were yet sinners, or that is to say, enemies of God in rebellion against Him, we must love our enemies, and we must reach out to them. In the Sermon on the Mount, we are told, love your enemies. Doesn't make much sense, does it? It sort of goes against the logic of life and, again, on this very imperfect planet. But we're given the opportunity, because we have the living Christ within us, to do something that is almost impossible for the natural human being, the person who's functioning only in accordance with the logic and the strength of, you know, of life on this planet. To do.
Well, and even there, it's a double commandment. Yes, we are to love our enemies, but the emotion of loving our enemies is not what he's talking about.
That's
he
right.
says, do good to those who hate you.
That's right.
It's not enough to sit at home and say, oh, I love them and I'll pray for them. We have to be demonstrating the love of Christ in our lives by doing good to those who do evil against us.
Yeah, we're told that there's nothing special about treating those who love us in loving and positive and wonderful ways. But when we treat those who do evil against us, that really is a tremendous witness. Here's a wonderful statement in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 5, verse 10. And it goes like this. When we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. In other words, God loved us so much that He sacrificed His beloved Son on our behalf. Why? Because we were so wonderful? Why? Because we were His friends? Why? Because we wanted to obey Him? Why? Because we wanted to worship Him? Why? Because we wanted to do His will? Not at all. It says He did that when we were His enemies. We were enemies against God.
And again, He didn't just love us. He did something.
You're listening to a Friday Classic edition of Compassion Radio that was first delivered on air in March of 2010.
Just in case you weren't aware, the Lord took Norm home to His heavenly reward just a few short weeks ago on April the 10th. We have a special tribute to our longtime president at our ministry webpage, CompassionRadio.com. Please pay a visit and express your best wishes to his wife, Cher, to Bram Floria, and all the Compassion Radio team. It would mean so much. And finally, we'll be giving you information about a memorial service coming up in Southern California on Sunday, May 28th, that you're invited to. So keep tuned right here. Let's get back now to the second half of today's Compassion Radio Classic program.
He did that when we were His enemies. We were enemies against God.
And again, He didn't just love us. He did something.
That's right. So what we're saying here with these examples and so forth is a really, really a cardinal principle of Compassion Radio. Belief is confirmed in our behavior toward others. And the message of this program, and more than just the verbal proclamation of this fact, Compassion Radio seeks to actually reach out and to love our enemies and to bring the compassion of Christ into places and to people that do not regard us favorably, that perhaps will even treat us as enemies. That's why we operate in so many Muslim countries, in so many places that do not honor or respect Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So that's the first point. Belief is confirmed in our behavior toward others. Secondly, we want to stress the fact that we are saved for service. Mm. This is a really important principle of Compassion Radio. What we mean by that is that the purpose of our salvation is not simply for us to go to heaven, as wonderful as that is. The purpose of our salvation is also to take others to heaven with us. And there, once again, is the operative word, that word, others. Let me read this wonderful statement from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, known by so many people, so many Christians around the world as the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, is Jesus speaking to his disciples as he prepares to return to heaven. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. A couple of interesting factors in there, honey. Mm. We're told to go.
Mm-hmm.
That is right at the heart of what Compassion Radio is about. We do not just stand in the pulpit. We do not just sit in the study. We get out and go. We go to the toughest places on earth. Since Compassion Radio adopted this approach to Christian broadcasting, we've had the opportunity to minister in 30 really tough countries around the world. In fact, with Haiti, we're now operating in 31 very difficult places around the world. And we feel so strongly that unless we go, we are not really being obedient to Jesus Christ.
Well, and we love what Brother Andrew says, too. He says, my Bible tells me to go. It never commands me to come back.
That's right. That's right. He says, yeah, I can get you into any country in the world, but I can't promise you that I can get you out of those countries. And, you know, we've been to some countries like that, and we found by the grace of God that he's protected us and enabled us to make a contribution for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of others. But it's been a very, I would say, adventurous and very satisfying ride that we've had as we have really taken our listeners with us as they funded various kinds of compassion projects mm-hmm. in difficult countries like Afghanistan, like Burma, Bangladesh, like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. Some of those countries are defined as our enemies. Certainly at this point in time, that is true of Iran. Sudan, a place where we've had tremendous outreach, has a very problematic relationship with the United States, with our government. Does that mean that we have the right to sit home and just wait for the country to implode? No. There are people in that country that God loves, and in all those places,
those people God loves.
That God loves, that he came to earth and died to save. And our obligation and our conviction is that we must go. It's not enough to just once again sit in front of a microphone and proclaim truths disembodied and unrelated to the act of actually going and ministering to the real needs of people. There's something else in that passage known to us as the Great Commission about going and making disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey the commands of Christ. There is also that promise, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the question comes to me because there is a relationship between the going and the promise that I will be with you, says the living Christ. The question is this: if we do not go, will he be with us?
Mm.
That question really haunts me, and it has for years. We assume sometimes that, well, the Lord is with us. But if we are not obedient, if we do not go, and that doesn't mean you have to go across the seas and travel for 27 to 30 hours on a plane across oceans and into exotic foreign locations bearing the message of the gospel and the compassion of Christ to fulfill that responsibility, but you should at least have the commitment to reach over that fence, that little boundary between yourselves and your neighbors.
We can still go and make disciples.
That's right. So that question, if we do not go, will he in fact be with us? I'm not so sure that he will be. If we're not obedient to the Great Commission, do we have a right to expect that God will be with us? And, of course, that refers to the fact that the living Christ has promised to bless us in the midst of our obedience to the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. If we are not obedient to that commission, do we have a right to believe that he will, in fact, bless us? I think it's an important question.
And there you have it, a Compassion Radio classic featuring Dr. Norm and Cher Nelson that first aired 6 years ago in March. Dear Lord, we are so grateful for the life and witness of your humble servant, Norm Nelson. Thank you for allowing him to be part of our lives. Amen. And thanks to the wonders of technology, we will continue to revisit some of these classic broadcasts right here on Compassion Radio.
Hallelujah.
friends. This is Cher Nelson here today with some info on our May project. You know, in India today, Christianity has grown by millions in the past 20 years, but for all the good preaching and brave missionaries, in many places something is still holding them back from planting healthy, growing churches. And that's not a political thing or a religious opposition. It's something much more simple, a lack of quality Bibles. For years, we've reminded you, our partners, that it's estimated that every Bible sent to mission hotspots ends up bringing 5 new believers into the kingdom because it's shared with other people. And guess what those 5 new believers need in order to flourish in their new faith? You guessed it, their own Bible. So until the whole world is heard, there will always be a shortage and a need for more Bibles. And that, my friends, is good news. Why? Because we can do something about it. Where it rains Bibles, the church grows, and it grows fast. And this month's project partner is doing something about it in an extremely cost-effective, Great Commission-advancing way. And that's why we're so excited to have teamed up with an amazing organization called Bibles for the World. With your compassion and help this month, we will join with Bibles for the World in their Great Commission mission to bring the Word to more villages and language groups than have ever had or held their own Bibles before.
Each bundle of 50 Gospels of John can be printed, delivered, and distributed for only $25. And full Bibles can be placed in believers' hands for $6 a copy. How many would you like to send to these precious souls? For your gift of any size, we'll send you 5 meaningful minutes for dads. This small book packs inspiration, biblical guidance, and prayer starters into 5-minute devotions for dads. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is easy to access at CompassionRadio.com.
You know, friends, the mission of Compassion Radio is to be the eyes and ears, hands, feet, and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most.
With your compassion and help, this month we can join with Bibles for the World in their Great Commission mission to bring the Word to more villages and language groups that have never had or held their own Bibles. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is easy to access at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll catch you again next time with more Compassion Radio.